I'm going to read in Mark 5, 25 to 34, and this is about the lady who had an issue of blood, who kept bleeding. And I'm breaking in before verse 25. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment, for she said, "Even if I touch his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Amen. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word. This is a story of a woman who suffered for 12 years. She spent all her money on doctors who could not cure her. And now she was poor. After 12 years of the doctors trying to cure her condition was worse. She was worse now than she had ever been. The woman's disease of a discharge of blood is specifically covered in Leviticus 15, 25 to 27. You needn't look it up. You can if you like. According to the law, a woman who had a discharge of blood for many days is unclean. Verse 26, "Every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean." Verse 27, "And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening." The Israelites had to separate from uncleanness. To those who were deemed to be unclean, they would be ostracized. We are dealing with the ceremonial law. She was separated from the community, and she was considered unclean for 12 years. 12 years. And so no one would go near her. She was rejected by society, even her friends and family. She was desperately lonely. She had no money left. How would she eat? Her disease was worse. She was in the worst situation of her life. No one could help her. She was, as an unclean person, no better than a leper. She was an outcast. She was at the end of herself. She would be better to lie down and die. We can almost hear an echo of Job. Curse God and die. Who would help her? What could she do? Her religion. This is the Jewish religion, and I'm not being anti-Semitic, simply quoting the Bible, really. Her religion had proved to be empty, powerless. I wonder how many South African women could have been like this. Terrible things come upon them, and they come to the worst situation possible. This was a woman of faith, but she had no help. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. He who keeps you, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. God can help this poor woman. He sent his son, his only begotten son, to help poor people. She had heard of this Jesus. Could this be the Messiah? She said to herself, if I can touch even his garment, I will be made well. She believed in him from what she had heard. How could she approach Jesus publicly? She's unclean. She's an outcast. Ostracized person. Like a leper. She couldn't do this, but she could touch his garment. She couldn't even touch him because he would be unclean under their ceremonial law understanding. She went with the swirling crowd that wanted to get near him. And when she was near, she reached out and touched his garment. She was immediately healed. Her great pain was over. Now she could slip away into the crowd. She came secretly and she could leave secretly. But Jesus knew. And he asked, "Who touched me?" The power of healing had gone out from him. The disciples mocked. All these people around and you're asking who touched you. But the woman fell on the ground and confessed what she had done. An unaccepted, ostracized, excluded leper, similar to the lepers who had to go and live in their own colonies. And what word did she hear from him? Daughter. daughter. This is acceptance. Son of God was calling her daughter. You can hear this being said, daughter or son. She is a child of God. She belongs to God. She is accepted. We can almost hear the great compassion in his voice. And Christ was a man of great compassion. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She came in utter despair, and now she had great peace. She was now clean. She was not just ceremonially clean, in accordance with Jewish law. She was spiritually clean. She was sent in peace. Here is the truth. When Jesus heals someone, it appears that their sins are also forgiven. Consider the healing of the paralytic man in Matthew 9. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. Jesus says it is the same thing to say, "Rise up and walk, and your sins are forgiven," certainly in this text. Also with the case of the blind young man, blind from birth. He obeys, he goes, Jesus touches his eyes with saliva, with mud with saliva. It was believed saliva had a healing property. "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." The young man does this and comes back seeing. And Jesus comes to meet him. And we see in the man's confession, "Who is this Messiah, Lord? Who is it? Tell me who he is and I will believe. He is the one standing before you." And he believed. And he couldn't only see the sky and the trees and the rivers and his mother's face. He could see the Son of God. Almighty God standing before him, and he is converted. His sins are forgiven. When Jesus heals the body, I am proposing, he also heals the soul. Jesus knows that he is going to the cross to die for sinners. Earlier he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And so his blood will wash them clean. Their sins and our sins were red as scarlet, but we are now white as snow. Hallelujah. The blood of Christ washes us. The blood of Christ is a symbol of the death of Christ. The death of Christ atones for us. He died in our place. We are forgiven. We are clean. We are white as snow. Forgiven completely for all sins past and present and future. The poor lady had an unstoppable flow of blood for 12 years, and so she was unclean. But she was cleansed by Jesus' blood. Her faith, which was a gift of God, had connected her with Jesus. She believed, and so she was forgiven and had great peace through the wonderful compassion of the Son of God. We're always seeing the compassion. The leper once said to Jesus, "If you are willing, make me clean." "I am willing, be clean." Those who are truly believe are made clean. We have forgiveness, and it is a cleansing thing. Jesus had the power to forgive sin. Again, in this miracle, Jesus is revealing his divinity. He's not just a person who has a healing gift. We were discussing miracles in class this morning, the miracle of healing. He is Almighty God. I'm tempted always to say he is the God-man. It was God's power that went out from him when the woman touched his robe. The healing power went out from Jesus to the woman. She received his power and now lived in that power. We need to touch the garment of Jesus. We need to touch it in faith, believing he will give us his power. We need to come truly to Christ in deep humility, not in self-glory, but in shame. If our sin could be seen, we would all be shamed. We need to reach out and touch the robe. When we are studying, we need to reach out and touch the robe. When we are in exams, reach out and touch the robe. When in financial difficulty, as so often happens to us, reach out and touch the robe. The woman who touched Jesus' robe was not strong. She was very weak. You can see the weakness. We are weak, but we have the power of the Spirit of Christ. Through faith, we touch Jesus' robe and are given this power. In this power from God, we can love our enemies. We can do good to those who do evil to us. We can love our neighbor, the one who needs help from us. This power is not our personal power. In ourselves, we are like David before Goliath. The Apostle Paul says, "When I am weak, I am strong." He rejoiced in his weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. This is what he was asking to be removed. As the lady with the flow of blood had a thorn in her flesh. Boast in our weakness. The Lord Jesus doesn't come on a white charger. He comes in as a little baby, born through, can I say, the Theotokos, the God channel, Mary's womb. A very humble beginning, and even he can't go back to Nazareth. They have to flee to Egypt in order that the baby won't be killed. In Christ we see the weakness of God. We see weakness, not strength. We are saved by that weakness. We are saved by that condescension. We are not looking for great power in God at this point. When he comes again, we'll see power. Paul is saying he had the power of Christ, but he himself was weak. He was despised, just as the poor woman had been. Brothers and sisters, we need power to live, but not the power of pride, of hubris, not the power of rising up in our own greatness, not the power that we grab and live in the big issue from the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, was the grabbing of power. And it's in the world as the source of evil today. We need the power not to faint, the power of the Holy Spirit, not to fall away and hide. We need power to persevere and keep going. We cannot serve Christ without this power. The power of the world is no good for us. The power of the doctors didn't do anything for this poor woman. But immediately when she touched Jesus' robe, she was healed by his power. The power of the gift of love. The power to forgive. The power to serve your brother or sister and your neighbor. As you love, you will be loved. As you forgive, you will be forgiven. As you serve, you will be served. As you give, you will be given. And finally, this power is the power of peace. Jesus said to the woman, go in peace. And this peace was great and true, eternal peace. Imagine the peace of the woman who suffered 12 years. What was she feeling? This peace passes understanding. This peace comes by reaching out and touching Jesus' robe. Not a big production, a humble, really simple, straightforward action. Touch the robe, reach out and touch his robe in the power of prayer. Our help comes from God, nowhere else. Touch his robe every morning. And we will have the strength of God for the day. We will be able to love. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the great compassion of the Lord Jesus. When we were not his friends, when we were his enemies, he died for us. He became a curse, the curse of sin, Cursed is he who is hung on a tree. His compassion is over us, everyone. Help us to connect with him. Bless us, bless our college community. Bless us with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let it be seen that we love one another. Go with us now in the power of the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.